Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Find these savings and more today. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 7/10. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
77 degrees for your 4th of July evening.
Weather brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples store has hot deals and super low prices on everything for back to school, even technology. Save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Swinging a line drive, base hit to center. He slides. He is safe. Cubs win the ball game. What a finish.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score.
Stravoni, Cubs win. Way to go, Steely. First career complete game. And he earned it here today. Wow, was he good.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Hour two of the show tonight, and we spoke a lot of Cubs in the first hour. We're going to keep that going for just a little bit here with you tonight until 9 o'clock. Hope you're having a terrific 4th of July weekend, and it is time to go to the Score Hotline, which is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We welcome in Tony Andracki, who is a Cubs reporter for Watch Marquee and digital content manager as well. And Tony is with us now on the Score. Good evening, Tony. Do we have Tony? Where's Tony? I'm worried sick about you, Tony. Are you there?
Hey, how's it going? Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. It's good to hear from you. It's occurring to me right now. I'm thinking of the set list tonight for us. I've got you on right now. I got Leo, who's sitting back in the studio, and he's producing the show. Me, and then Grody is on after us. This next like 40 minutes is an all Illinois State hour.
Yeah, you got like Redbird Night going for you guys now.
That's right. You know what? Look at us representing that university. So instead of them asking me for money, I think they should give me some. That's what I think.
Yeah. I'll take some too, yes.
Anyway, so Tony, appreciate you being on with us tonight. And so a win for the Cubs at Wrigley Field this afternoon against a bad Angels team. So we're talking things over here, and knowing that the trade deadline still a few weeks away, and it was about 2 weeks from now last year when they went on that little mini run, and that informed their decision to kind of stay the course instead of trading off some assets. If they go on a run like that, let's say they win 7 straight here coming up, does it change the calculus for them at all, you think?
I think certainly it would. I think there's a couple different things that are different than last year. I think one, the playoff race is just a lot different. Now, the Cubs, being only a handful of games out of the wild card at this point is a little bit different than they were, even last year. There were seemingly more teams kind of running away with it. It wasn't as many teams clumped together like it is in the NL. Which is a good thing if you just look at the in terms of the numbers of games back for the Cubs, hanging around the like 2-5 range over the last couple of weeks, even with the losing here. That being said, there's basically every team in the NL except for the Rockies and the Marlins are in play for a playoff spot. So you'd have to leapfrog a lot of teams, certainly. It's a big factor. I think one thing that is working in the Cubs' favor right now is that in terms of like selling, buying, whatever, is so many guys on this roster are locked up through, the end of this year, obviously, and then several years after this. So they don't have a ton of, trade chips. It's not going to be 2021 all over again, where all of those guys were free agents at the end of the year. And, it was a team of you know, similar, like a lame duck manager type of thing, but a lame duck roster. There's a bunch of guys who were, did not have a career, or sorry, a contract locked up after this season. So that's not the case here. I mean, even Cody Bellinger, maybe he doesn't opt out. Maybe he stays around, and basically every single person on this roster could be back next year. So a little bit different situation, I think. And, you know, I think just given the way that the Cubs have sold and not really even aggressively bought at the deadline the last few years, I think they're really hoping that they find themselves in an opportunity where they're certainly buyers and definite buyers in a few weeks.
So if they are buyers, my impression of them is that they are more likely to just stick with what they have and that's the course moving forward more than doing anything else. I could be wrong about that. And of course, if they start winning a bunch, that would change things a little bit. But how aggressive can you really imagine them being prior to the deadline if things start to pick up in terms of the win total?
You know what? My take is exactly what yours is that like, I think it's more likely that they're going to kind of stand pat, maybe make some moves around the fringes of the roster, you know, help the bullpen out, you know, so on. I don't think that there's like a hitter out there, right, that's going to necessarily help the lineup. I think there are some guys like Pete Alonso or Vlad Guerrero that we know, you know, they've kind of been bandied about in trade rumors. But the Blue Jays are in the midst of, you know, wild card race. The Mets have been playing really good baseball the last few weeks, so they're, you know, far and away above where the Cubs are now in the wild card standing. So it doesn't seem super likely that Alonso is going to be traded right now. At least that's kind of my initial take on it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's probably going to be more, you know, buying some ancillary pieces on the roster versus being super aggressive and getting one of those big hitters or getting a pitcher or something like that. You know, I'm not seeing like an Aroldis Chapman type trade like they did in 2016. So I think more likely it's going to be, you know, adding some guys to help the bullpen. That being said, there's a bunch of guys from the bullpen that are going, you know, on their way back. Julian Merriweather and Adbert Alzolay, you know, having live BPs now, and some of these other guys, Mark Leiter Jr., Javier Assad, Jordan Wicks, Ben Brown. There's so many arms that are coming back that we might see in July, and maybe everybody but Adbert, you know, could be back before July is up. So in some ways, that's going to be kind of like a trade deadline boost too. So I do think it's going to be a really interesting next couple of weeks to just see how this market develops and what Jed's front office wants to do and wants to try to add.
Talking with Tony Andracki here on 670 The Score, the Cubs with a win this afternoon, and Justin Steele was really, really good. Granted, we are talking about an Angels team that's not particularly good this year, but still a complete game two hitter. That's tough to do against anybody.
Yeah, that was a cool moment for sure. I mean, you know, the crowd, near sold out crowd, recognizing that he's coming out for the ninth. And, you know, I really liked the Wrigley, you know, audio DJ. They played his walkout song again for the ninth inning, the Johnny Cash song. So that was pretty cool. It was a nice moment. I mean, everybody kind of recognized what the significance of it for Steele and for the team. And, you know, for a fan base that hasn't had a ton to cheer about the last couple of months, it was a nice day to cheer a lot for the fans. I mean, there was Steele's performance for sure, 95 pitches in a complete game. Neither thing we see much now. I mean, we don't see many complete games, and we don't see many complete games under 100 pitches. So I thought that was cool. Miles Mastroboni made some great plays in the field, you know, some big hits and home runs, a lot of hits just overall, timely hitting with two outs. I think it was just a good day for fans to cheer about on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, and that's the thing. For a team that got off to a pretty good start like they did, I think the expectation is this could end up being a really good year for them. And obviously through May and June, it's been anything but that. At the ballpark, though, it always feels like there's always a good vibe. It feels like, at least to me, in the times that I've been there, it always feels like a good vibe no matter what, even if things aren't going well.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I mean, this summer has also been that way. You know, like there have been occasional times where boos have come down, just fans showing their frustration. But that hasn't been too often. You know, those are more rare, I would say. And the times that it has happened, you know, the players and council have kind of acknowledged it, but Again, given the fact that it's been a tough 2 month stretch, I mean, you know, for I forget the exact record, but they're right before this 2-game winning streak here, I think they were playing somewhere around 333 baseball. They were like 18-36 or somewhere around that range. So, I mean, yeah, that's a tough stretch. And, you know, when you're not winning back-to-back games and you're not winning the first game of a series and you're not stringing wins together, you know, they were like prior to today, I think they were 3-21 or 3-22 following wins over their last stretch, which is a really difficult thing because you just can't get any good momentum. But, yeah, the fans have been coming out in droves and, you know, they've really seemingly enjoyed themselves out of the ballpark. And, yeah, this weekend has been nice. I mean, yesterday was obviously a really nice day and, a lot to cheer about for the fans as well, you know, putting up 10 runs and then today here too. So I think what the Cubs want to do is just continue to give the fan base something to cheer about. And I like how Steele talked about it today and Hap talked about it yesterday, just kind of acknowledging the fans and acknowledging that they deserve these good moments to cheer about.
Tony, we are not too far away from the All-Star game, and Shota Imanaga has been the best Cub this year and will, you know, likely be part of that. Can you see anybody else sneaking in, or is this pretty much it?
Yeah, I think Shota is definitely going to go in for sure. The guy today, Steele, is the other one that I was thinking about. And, you know, we were kind of talking to Council a little bit a couple days ago about it as well. Actually, this was big, not just because of the complete game, but because it was Steele's first win this season, which is shocking. But and it's
ERA
first win
under three.
Yeah, it's nuts. And his first win in almost 10 months, too. It was early September last year at Wrigley against the Giants that he picked up his last win. But there has never been a starting pitcher who has not made any relief appearances make the All-Star team without a single win. So Steele's chances basically were nil to make it. I think this win helps. You know, it might be kind of funny to see, like you said, the ERA is good. You know, the whip's right at one. He was an All-Star last year. I think he has the pedigree and reputation around the game as an ace or close to it. So I do think it's possible, but it might be kind of funny to see a guy with like a 1-3 or, you know, 2-3 record or something go to the All-Star game. Wins don't matter as much. Pitching wins obviously don't matter as much nowadays, but it still might be kind of funny. That being said, especially with the way pitchers don't end up going to this game and guys back out last minute based on schedules or injuries or whatever, I would not be surprised at all if Steele's also at the All-Star game.
I feel like if there are any stragglers still in terms of thinking pitcher wins matter, he's one of those great examples of that he was 0-3 going into today, had a low ERA and had not won a game yet. But, you know, there are always a few people who are going to think it matters a ton. I'm curious about injuries too, because they appear to be getting closer to health. I know PCA is still day to day with the thumb thing. Javier Assad is expected to come back at some point here. I know, I believe he threw a bullpen today, and Leiter is getting close. So where are they in terms of the more significant injuries? You mentioned Alzolay too. So where are all those guys?
Yeah, I mean, just over the last couple of days, I think Alzolay was really encouraging news because we hadn't really had an update on him in a while. And, you know, we knew that he had started his throwing progression, but that can mean a lot of different things, right? It could mean he's playing catch from flat ground. It could mean he's throwing from 120 feet. It could mean he's throwing off a bullpen. And, you know, for him to start facing live hitters in Arizona, I think is a really big deal. You know, the forearm injury took him out, you know, right after Mother's Day. It was a lot more serious than they thought. It didn't require surgery or anything, but, you know, there were a lot of question marks. So I think that's a really good thing, and getting him back and effective would be gigantic for this bullpen. But, yeah, Julian Merriweather is the other one, too, that I've been keeping my eye on, because the Cubs have been without him for basically 3 months. I think it was April 6th was the last time that he had pitched, or that was the day he went on the IL. But he was a huge, huge part of the bullpen last year, one of the top, you know, two, three arms in the late innings. So to get him back, which they'll probably get him back like right after the All-Star break, that would be huge, too. And Leiter could be back before the All-Star break. Ben Brown, like you mentioned, Assad, Jordan Wicks, these guys could all be coming, you know, just after the break and in late July there too. So I think all of these are good news. The Yancy Almonte one is really tough, though, because counsel just said a couple of days ago that the second opinion and stuff they got on it was he has to shut down again, a period of rest. You know, he's been out 6 weeks, 7 weeks now with a shoulder injury. He already went through rest. He had ramped up, was, you know, facing live BP on rehab assignment and still was experiencing some issues. So now basically he either has to have surgery or, you know, rest for a period and then strengthen. And all of that is not good news when you're talking early July. So it seems like maybe right now that Yancy Almonte might be done for the year. Or if he does return, you know, we're looking at probably still, you know, 6+ weeks out. So I think that one hurts. He was a pretty good reliever for this team, especially against righties. But to get some of these other guys back and just augment this pitching staff that they have going with Steele and Imanaga and Tyone, I think would be really cool to watch.
I know you spoke to Elise Menneker on your most recent Cubs Weekly podcast, and she will be part of an all-female broadcast team on Marquee, and that will be on Sunday, and it's the first time it's ever happened in the history of the Cubs. It'll be Elise and Taylor McGregor and Beth Mowins will be in the broadcast booth. That's I know it's already happened before. It's happened in basketball, and there have been women who have been broadcasting baseball for quite some time now. And now that they've got this all-female team coming up on Sunday, how big of a deal is that? It's got to be a massive deal to her individually, but how about this entire broadcast that'll take place on Sunday?
Yeah, this has been really cool. You know, this is something that we at Marquee, you know, have been thinking about, talking about for a little while here. So to have this date kind of earmarked on the calendar and have it come together like this, I think is awesome. And as part of a holiday weekend too, I think is just really cool. To have it at Wrigley, I think, is also something special, right? Like, it could have happened on the road, but to be the last game of a homestand and the last home game before the All-Star break, I think is pretty special too. But yeah, it's going to be really great. I mean, you know, Taylor and Elise do such an incredible job for us and so many different roles in Elise's case, you know, being an analyst and studio host and sideline, and, you know, Taylor carrying everything on sideline for, you know, 120 plus broadcasts a year is awesome. So yeah, that, and then, you know, Beth is a legend in this industry and somebody that both Taylor and Elise have, you know, talked about just like growing up and listening to and watching and hearing her broadcast. So I think it's going to be such a cool day. And it's something that, you know, my daughter's only one, but it's a day that, you know, I'll kind of point to in the future and be like, hey, look, this is like a momentous occasion.
I didn't know you were old enough for kids.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I still feel like you're 18, man.
I mean, I feel like that sometimes too, with the exception of, like, today I woke up pretty sore after chasing my daughter and my nieces and nephews around all day yesterday, so I guarantee I did not feel like 18 and my back didn't feel like 18 this morning.
Just wait till you wake up sore and you didn't do nothing before that. And
yeah.
You go, what the hell is that all about?
I have those days too sometimes now, yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Tony Andracki, looking forward to Sunday. Appreciate your coverage for Marquee. Thank you for being with us tonight and for spending your time on a holiday weeknight or weekend night. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of your Redbird night here.
That's right. Redbird night continues with Mark Grody in a moment. That's Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for Marquee, digital content manager as well, joining us on 670 The Score. Leo, when did you graduate from Illinois State?
I graduated in 2022.
Oh my God, you're a child also.
Oh, sorry, I was talking to Raji.
They're trying to talk to each other, and I'm bothering Leo. I'll let him go back.
Sorry, Chris, I'm right back.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you when you were talking to Tony.
It's all good.
You're a baby. 2022?
Yeah, I'm fairly recent.
Good for you, man. Good for you. I'm so proud.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's keep this Redbird thing going, shall we? When we come back, we're going to switch things up a bit. We are going to talk Bears with our guy, former Redbird.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. you can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Mark Grody, he's next on The Score.
Pfizer. It's spelled B-E-A-R.
Bears.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Until 9 o'clock tonight, before BetMGM Live takes over on 670. So glad you're with me tonight. You've got the number 312-644-6767. Your text message is welcome. You could tweet at me, at Chris Ranji, if you want to do that. I love your tweets. It is time to go back to the guest line, the Score guest line, which is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and we bring in yet another Redbird. There have been three Redbirds on the air at any given moment over the last 20 or so minutes, and that streak continues now. Mark Grody, who covers the Bears. He is our Bears insider for 670 The Score, and Grody is with us now. What's up, dude?
I'm an old bird, so I feel like I'm saving the show for you when you had all those young birds on with you talking about this graduating in 2022 business. What the hell is that? Well, wow.
Dude, I didn't even know that was a graduation date. I didn't even know that was possible.
Sorry, guys.
They're working in our business in 2022 graduates, I tell
you. Now, you know what? Let me tell you something else about these youngs. You got these clowns saying stuff like, when they turn 25, Grody, this is one of my biggest pet peeves on earth, is when a 25-year-old says, I am a quarter of a century old. And they do that as if, like, I'm ancient now. And I say, I will murder you, and you can't stop me. quarter of a century? You're trying to make yourself sound old with that? Get lost. Yeah. Leo, you're not 25 yet, are you?
I will be in October.
If you say that in October, I swear to God I will throw you in the lake.
Well, I don't want that to happen, so I will avoid saying that.
Okay.
Put that on the record. Leo does not thrown into the lake. He's one of those people. Huh? You're one of them guys. That's why he's thrown into the lake, eh?
Hey, that's right. I'll throw you into the lake. You sleep with the fishies.
Oh.
Anyway, so Grody, it's good to have you with us because, well, two things. First of all, Bob and Joliet... wants a pair of those sunglasses that you had because he said he had a pair and accidentally gave them to somebody else, and he wants to know if you will send him some. That's number one.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about? The sunglasses you had on the sideline and everybody made fun of you?
Yeah, the Score shades. Well, yeah. My answer to that question is I don't know. I don't know what we have available in the promotional boxes at the Score that's slightly out of my purview, but we all three of us here know people who work there, and I would like to hand it off to one of you guys to follow through on that as opposed to me.
Yeah, I don't work here permanently, so I will hand it off to Leo.
Hey, Leo. Hey, kid. Hey, I'm not even 25 yet. That's on you, pal. Make Bob and Joliet happy with a pair of Score shades, all right?
I will try to find Bob and try to get him those, get him that merch.
My guy.
Yeah, get that done before your 25th birthday, and we'll respect you.
And the other thing, Grody, is this. 3 weeks from today, monumental day. It is the Summer Olympics opening ceremony in Paris, and the Bears with their first open practice in training camp. First of all, which is a bigger deal?
Oh, my God, the Bears, man.
Yeah,
We live off of this. We all need it. You know? I mean, we're all with no part. It's like I've used this analogy before. It's like the buffalo in the Native American, they would use every part of the buffalo. We use every part of the bear, Chris, to discuss and to talk about and to replenish us and to keep us, even now during the summer, the Bears keep us cool.
Well, that's what happens when you play one game a week. You have no choice but to dissect every single element of every single game.
Yes, yes. And right now, more than ever, too, with like actual hope, usually this is about the time of the year where we're trying to rustle something up in terms of like positivity and, well, the Bears, oh, maybe this is the year the Bears can break through. If this happens, if that happens, this is the first year in a while where you look at the roster on both sides of the ball and you say, yeah, that actually should stimulate optimism, and people should be excited to talk about the Bears even in this quote-unquote dead period of the NFL. So I've been telling everybody, man, like, I can't wait to see what training camp is like this year, what the energy is like, because it's going to be different than what we had been, or what, you know, I had been covering the previous 3 years on Justin Fields. It's totally and completely different, and I honestly can't wait for July 19th.
Well, let me ask you how it's different, because there was a lot of real excitement about Fields, and I remember having conversations with you on the air about how there was a different feel to the Justin Fields thing during training camp, you know, the vibe around him and what the Bears might be in for. How does this feel different? I mean, this is a number one overall pick. There probably isn't a team that, if they had the number one pick, would not have taken Caleb Williams. So how does this feel different than those years?
Well, number one, Caleb Williams, is even in our short dance with him so far as a collective media and all of us getting to know Caleb Williams a little bit, this is different. This is a different cat. This is, and not just because I know that it's so easy to get back into the Justin Fields comparison and that argument, not just Justin Fields, not just Justin Fields, also Mitch Trubisky and Jay Cutler. This guy, like, in terms of the way he carries himself, in terms of, like, that generational line that we all tagged him with, like, he carries that around with him, it feels like. It feels like that's part of the package, and he seems to welcome it. So Caleb Williams is reason number one that this thing feels different. There's the way he acts, and obviously I've not seen a quarterback with the ability, you know, from now having gone through a ton of Caleb Williams games and tapes, I have not seen any, none of his predecessors had that. I mean, look, Justin Fields was a terrific college quarterback. Trubisky got everybody excited in his 1 year at North Carolina. We obviously know what Jay Cutler did at Vanderbilt and then in the pros, but there is definitely something more dynamic physically about Caleb Williams and the way he plays. So there's that. Then the second thing, really quickly, is that it's different going into this because of the people around Caleb Williams, because Roma Dunze, because Keenan Allen, because DJ Moore is still here, because Gerald Everett was brought in, because you know, that you still have guys that are continuing to develop on this offense. So there's that, and then the defense is good. Like, how many times, Chris, have you, as a Bears fan, gone into a season where your team, the Chicago Bears, had a what looked to be good offense and good defense? Not many times, Chris, and this is one of those years the Bears head into camp with a good offense and a good defense.
I honestly don't remember a time. I mean, if it's no, I'm serious. I'm not joking. It's been,
I know,
it's always been defense first, really.
Yes. Even in 2018, that great year.
Yeah, that was all defense.
It was all defense. It was an elite, like, legit one-off elite year. And then you go into 2019 where you thought the offense would, okay, finally, this is the year where maybe Trubisky will take off, and then they don't,
no,
basically don't. Packers on opening night 2019, and the rest is history.
Yeah, so for me, I'm with you. There's a lot of excitement here, and then I wonder just what's going to go wrong. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play the what's going to go wrong game. Everything's going to be fine. you know, you mentioned that just the feel of Caleb in when he's around for rookie minicamp and all that stuff, that it just, there's a different vibe with him, and he seems to be able to handle it. I'm, and there was so much paid attention to like so much about his the painted nails and the stupid pink phone. And then he had the Titans defensive tackle from a couple of weeks ago say in game one, he's like, I can't wait to say something about the painted nails to him just to get in his head. Does he appear to be, to you, somebody who would let that rattle him? Because to me, if you're willing to just be yourself and you don't care, you're not going to be too worried about what's said to you on the field either.
I think, and you know, this is all subject to change because we are just getting to know Caleb Williams. And as we know, this is the off season where nothing bad happens. And we'll see as time goes on what the relationship is between the media and Caleb Williams. But in the times that I've gotten to talk to him, like he like embraces the nails thing. Like you'd think it'd be like it's by this point. Yeah, maybe it's not a great idea to be asking about the nails thing, but he's waiting for people to ask, not because he wants to throw it in other people's faces or get mad at people who have dissed him. It's because he likes talking about them. So, like, somebody brought up the nails, and he, like, right away, he holds his hands up, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got this thing for the Bears, and then somebody told me to do this thing. So, right, I don't think it bugs him in the least. I have not had much one-on-one time with him yet. I think that these are questions that will develop throughout the season, and obviously it's still going to be part of the whole thing. But he, on first blush, Chris, he definitely seems to embrace it, and I hope that they don't, in a figurative sense, beat this out of him or make him less himself.
Yeah, and I don't think this is necessarily an indication that he's a weirdo. I mean, people point to some of the outfits he's put on and all this other stuff, which I really don't think matters. And it's not unusual for a quarterback to be a weirdo for different reasons. Aaron Rodgers is a tremendous weirdo. Russ Wilson is a weirdo, a different kind of weirdo. I don't think that matters. I think you might kind of need to be a little off in some way to be a quarterback of an NFL team.
Yeah, well, I just don't want him to be too off, and we've had them all here. Yeah, too,
of course not. You don't want to be. Yeah. You don't want to be. I know what you're saying. You don't want to be too strange, but you have to have a little bit.
I agree. I just don't want, you know, like, I don't know how you categorize Jay Cutler as when in that. Was he weird? Was he a putz? Like, what was his? I'm not really sure. Like, how
it's
one
the
would.
Butthole.
Yeah, it just seemed like he was not interested in being nice. You know what I mean? Like, he just not interested whatsoever. And then you had really back-to-back guys in Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields who were both pretty understated and didn't really care to jump out and be that forward about things. So I do think it is refreshing that Caleb Williams has been so open like that. And, all of this stuff off the field, it's fun, and I'm going to, you know, have fun getting to know Caleb, and I think all of us are just because he appears to be a pretty good subject. But it's I don't know that there's ever been this much pressure on a rookie Bears quarterback because of the guys that we said that they brought in, the expectations he's put on himself, and the fact that he's being handed the ball from day one, and we're going to see mistakes, man. I mean, we've seen some already in the offseason program and now on to camp where he's going to have to learn fast because people are expecting the Bears to win this year.
Yeah, and I'm seeing 9 wins, 10-win projections from a lot of people, and maybe that's hopeful, but I don't think they can not be a winning team this year. It will be disappointing if they're not. I wanted to ask you about the offensive line, which is improved from the year before, but there are still some questions about whether or not they are strong enough at center. Do you believe they are?
I am concerned that they still haven't said fill in the blank will be our center this year. It looks like from, again, the practices that we got to see and the conversations we were allowed to have on the record that Ryan Bates is going to be the guy. It's still not out of the question that the lefty center Colton Shelton can be because he definitely got his fair share of turns, but I believe it's going to be Ryan Bates. Am I comfortable with him? Not yet. Not yet is my answer to that. And some of it is what we have seen with Ryan Poles and the center position on his watch And that's one thing that he has not gotten right yet. You know, he signed Lucas Patrick a couple of years ago. That did not work at all. That was not worth the contract, not worth the player, any of that. It did not work for various reasons. Cody Whitehair, they tried him at center. That was the wrong decision. Once upon a time ago, they had Sam Mustipher playing center, and then Sam Mustipher was benched and then had to play again because of injury. So it's been that's one area where Brian Poles has not earned the benefit of the doubt yet. So until they actually name one of those centers, and then I get to see that center play every single snap at center, I'm going to say that is a position of concern, and I'm not ready to say I'm comfortable with either of those guys yet.
When training camp gets going again in 3 weeks, what is going to be the most important thing for you that you'll pay attention to other than Caleb Williams?
I think that what I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I think that this will lead into my thought process in camp, is those young defensive linemen. And I'm talking about specifically Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens. And really, I'm looking at you, Jervon Dexter, because the Bears, as we all know, the easy area of weakness to look to, or area that they need to still beef up, is that defensive end spot opposite of Montez Sweat. There's just not a lot of great definite options there right now, and I don't think you're going to ask your fifth-round rookie, Austin Booker, to be that guy yet. And Ryan Poles has been transparent about it. You know, the fastest way to the quarterback is from the defensive line, from the middle of the defensive line and the three technique. So if Jervon Dexter can not only take that three tech position and actually begin to get some pressure on the quarterback, the Bears defense would be working exactly the way they want it to be working. And they can go up to the next level. You know, right now I think they're a good defense. I don't think they're a great defense or elite defense. And I think that those guys, the young defensive linemen, are the key to stepping it up. And I'm going to be fascinated to watch them as much as possible and to talk to their coaches and to Flus about those two guys.
Text messages are welcome at 312-644-6767. And since we're talking Bears and we've got Mark Grody on, you would think that there are a lot of Bears questions that are coming in. But Grody, literally the only thing anybody has texted us, the only questions being asked right now from multiple people, how long was your nap today?
Well, I did get, let me just look at this. I've got about a 3.5 hour nap in today. About a 3.5 hour.
Damn, that is so good.
Yeah. I was taking some crap about that from Gabe Ramirez today and from Lawrence as well, because they said that's not a nap, that's going to bed. Like
that's
this.
Good. So. It is. 3 hours, 3-4 hours?
Yeah.
Dude. Man.
Dude, I'll tell you what. So here was the day. I did do the morning. For people who don't know the full context, I did do the morning show today, which requires one to get up super early. And yep, like you, Chris, I don't like to go to bed early, so I don't have
hate
good discipline at night. Right. So you know how it is when you've done the morning.
Dude,
you probably get an hour of sleep.
Look,
right?
I do a 10 a.m. show, and it might as well be 7 a.m. It's just, and I've been doing the show for 2 years, and I'm still not used to waking up before like 10 o'clock. It sucks.
Yeah.
I'm a child.
You are actually worse than me, even though I took a childlike nap today. You're just a little worse than me. But I'm not far off, man.
All right.
That's like dating. I used to host a show way back when in my life in Springfield that started at 9 a.m. and it was so hard.
And people will not sympathize with us at all, because you tell them that and they go, so it's a typical work day? Yes, it is a typical work day. I get it that everybody else is normal and we are not. I get it. But it's not making my life any easier to know that.
Yeah, just a tick off. But I'm in a weird space right now. I mean, honestly, I got up from my nap not that long ago, So I'm in this strange place of let's see now what happens. Will I be up till, you know, 2 a.m. tonight? When do I get regular again, you know?
Well, I wish you the best of luck, but here's what I know. A 3.5-hour nap, it's impossible for me to do that. If I tried, I would lay there for 3.5 hours thinking about my nap. That's what would happen.
Well, this is one of those rare naps where I do a slap. Oh, and also throw this in there. After doing the show, went out for a big breakfast with Gabe. That, I mean, like with pancakes, the whole thing. So I was like ready to once. All I needed was a spot to lay down in my place, and it was over. It was over.
Good for you, buddy. I'm jealous. I'm glad you feel better. You sound chipper as hell. So you go crush the night or do whatever it is you're going to do.
All right, buddy. You go have fun with all the ISU people. Go Redbirds.
Nope, that's it. It's all over. You're it. It's just Leo and me now.
Yeah, well, there it was. You know, the HOF, you and I, buddy. You know, you got to
right.
Hold it down.
These two Bucks, they don't have any idea what it's like to be in the Hall of Fame at Illinois State, but we do.
Yeah, I know. It's changed you. It's changed me, and I think for the better. Chris, have a great night.
See ya. That is Mark Grody, covers the Bears. He is our Bears insider right here on 670 The Score. And I am not joking when I tell you that if I tried to take a nap for longer than 40 minutes, I would probably lay there no matter how tired I am, and I would be thinking about said nap instead of actually doing it. That's true. We'll talk Bulls with Cody Westerlund next hour. Wayne Randazzo, LA Angels television play-by-play guy, will be with us next hour as well. But we've got some time to hang out, you and me, 312-644-6767. I'm Chris Ranji on The Score.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. I am Chris Ranji, and we are approaching the third hour of the show tonight. It is a three-hour program. We've got Wayne Randazzo, former Score guy, who is now the TV play-by-play guy for the Angels. So he's going to join us next hour. Cody Westerlund on the Bulls. He is going to be with us and looking forward to that conversation. Your text messages, 312-644-6767. This one asks, I have no idea why this interests me, but were you and Mark Grody supposed to roommate together? Well, we did discuss it. I believe that was during the time when I was in between jobs, and I said I didn't know what I would do, and Grody and I decided we'll just get a place together. And it never happened because of the cat. I'm not rooming with Dave the cat. I don't care how much Grody likes that cat, I'm not going to be part of that because cats are awful. I have a friend in Chicago who has her own cat, and she has a dog, and both the dog and the cat are fine. And you know, they're fine, right? I like dogs. I really don't like cats. As cats go, this one is fine. But this woman has decided to feed the neighborhood cats too. So there were a couple of times where I would come up to visit, you know, and sometimes she'd allow me to stay at her house. And one of the times she was out of town and she said, just feed the cats for me, would you? And I said, okay, I'll feed the cats. She instructed me how to feed them. And what you do is you leave a bowl of food out the back door. And at any given moment, there are at least a dozen cats that are hanging outside her back door waiting to be fed. And about 2 weeks ago, she sent me a photo and said, well, it looks like I have new pets now. And I thought, oh, before I open this photo, it's probably going to be another dozen cats. But it wasn't. It was 7 raccoons. So not only does she have a dozen cats or so, but she has 7 raccoons who are now eating at her back door. Don't feed stray animals. You know, don't feed the strays. It's not good for anybody. The neighbors are going to hate you. Raccoons. She owns raccoons now. What are we doing around here? I'll tell you what we are doing. We're not giving away cat food, but we are giving away tickets to the Mullion Hall live show at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, which is coming up Thursday, July 18th. It'll be from 6 until 10 in the morning. It's a morning show, so it's 6 to 10 a.m. A live studio audience will be there. There are going to be special guests in attendance, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away to be a part of the live studio audience. And it is a very cool room. It's right on the property where 670 is and where Odyssey Chicago is, but there's limited space. So let's give away a pair of tickets right now to see the Mullion Hall live show, Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, Thursday, July 18th from 6 until 10 a.m. We are looking for caller number 6 to this contest line at 312-540-6070. 312-540-6070. And we're looking for caller number 6. Best of luck to you, and maybe you can come see Mullion Haw at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage on July 18th. That'll be a really fun event, and I hope you're all looking forward to that. Final hour of the show from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, is coming up next. I'm Chris Ranji on The Score.
I'm a cool cat, man.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Score.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. I am Chris Ranji, and we are approaching the third hour of the show tonight. It is a three-hour program. We've got Wayne Randazzo, former Score guy, who is now the TV play-by-play guy for the Angels. So he's going to join us next hour. Cody Westerlund on the Bulls. He is going to be with us and looking forward to that conversation. Your text messages, 312-644-6767. This one asks, I have no idea why this interests me, but were you and Mark Grody supposed to roommate together? Well, we did discuss it. I believe that was during the time when I was in between jobs and I said I didn't know what I would do, and Grody and I decided we'll just get a place together. And it never happened because of the cat. I'm not rooming with Dave the cat. I don't care how much Grody likes that cat, I'm not going to be part of that because cats are awful. I have a friend in Chicago who has her own cat, and she has a dog, and both the dog and the cat are fine. And you know, they're fine, right? I like dogs. I really don't like cats. As cats go, this one is fine. But this woman has decided to feed the neighborhood cats too. So there were a couple of times where I would come up to visit, you know, and sometimes she'd allow me to stay at her house. And one of the times she was out of town and she said, just feed the cats for me, would you? And I said, okay, I'll feed the cats. She instructed me how to feed them. And what you do is you leave a bowl of food out the back door. And at any given moment, there are at least a dozen cats that are hanging outside her back door waiting to be fed. And about 2 weeks ago, she sent me a photo and said, well, it looks like I have new pets now. And I thought, oh, before I open this photo, it's probably going to be another dozen cats. But it wasn't. It was 7 raccoons. So not only does she have a dozen cats or so, but she has 7 raccoons who are now eating at her back door. Don't feed stray animals. You know, don't feed the strays. It's not good for anybody. The neighbors are going to hate you. Raccoons. She owns raccoons now. What are we doing around here? I'll tell you what we are doing. We're not giving away cat food, but we are giving away tickets to the Mullion Hall live show at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, which is coming up Thursday, July 18th. It'll be from 6 until 10 in the morning. It's a morning show, so it's 6 to 10 a.m. A live studio audience will be there. There are going to be special guests in attendance, and we've got a pair of tickets to give away to be a part of the live studio audience. And it is a very cool room. It's right on the property where 670 is and where Odyssey Chicago is, but there's limited space. So let's give away a pair of tickets right now to see the Mullion Hall live show, Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, Thursday, July 18th from 6 until 10 a.m. We are looking for caller number 6 to this contest line at 312-540-6070. 312-540-6070. And we're looking for caller number 6. Best of luck to you, and maybe you can come see Mullion Haw at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage on July 18th. That'll be a really fun event, and I hope you're all looking forward to that. Final hour of the show from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, is coming up next. I'm Chris Ranji on The Score.
I'm a cool cat, man.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.